Good afternoon. As you can see, I'm joined once again at the podium by Colonel Conrad Freitag of SHAPE. Conrad, thanks once again for coming up to give the operational briefing today. Ladies and gentlemen, over the last 24 hours, NATO forces have kept up the intense pace of their attacks against the Yugoslav armed forces, with a twin focus. Firstly, Milosevic's forces in Kosovo and the lines of communication and the command and control network that keeps them in touch with Belgrade. So two lines of focus. Firstly, the fielded forces themselves. Secondly, the more strategic target of the command and control network, without which they would not be able to operate for long. Our strategy is straightforward: to cut them off, pin them down and take them out so that they have no option but to leave Kosovo. As Colonel Freitag will explain to you in more detail presently, we successfully yesterday evening went after the complete array of fielded forces in Kosovo, starting with armour but also attacking command posts and ammunition depots. At the same time, NATO aircraft engaged Milosevic's army and special police forces, while more NATO aircraft attacked the systems that Belgrade uses to control them, including 8 radio relay sites and yesterday more than a dozen bridges, most of them road but some of them rail bridges. As you all know now, this morning, during the early hours, an F-16 aircraft went down in the northwestern part of Serbia as we increase the intensity of our air operations 24 hours a day, so the greater the risk, obviously, to our pilots as well from an increased momentum of operations. But I want to highlight the fact that this pilot, within a matter of 2 hours, was rescued by NATO forces and taken to safety. And I would like to salute the professionalism and the efficiency of that combat search and rescue team that, for the second time since Operation Allied Force began, managed to rescue a downed pilot. That pilot is safe, well, receiving medical attention, and is now being debriefed on the incident. So thank you, and I now hand over to Colonel Freitag for his more detailed operational update.
Thank you, Jamie. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. NATO's air campaign continued with intensive strikes against military and strategic targets throughout the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia. Once again, we focused the major weight of our effort on the Serb fielded forces in Kosovo. I want to be quite clear about this. By attacking fielded forces and their support systems, we seek to make it incredibly difficult for anyone to get into Kosovo and almost impossible to move around and operate within Kosovo. As part of this continuing effort, during the past 24 hours, we struck the full spectrum of tactical targets throughout the province. Numerous artillery guns, tanks, armored personnel carriers, mortars, military vehicles, artillery rocket systems, command posts, and local ammunition and fuel supplies were hit. The following videos are taken over the past week. The first shows an attack against fielded artillery gun. The next two cockpit videos are of an attack with precision-guided weapons against fielded tanks. In the upcoming days, we will be giving you a more detailed briefing on our overall assessment of the effects of our concentrated efforts on the targeting of fielded forces, and I hope that this meets your hunger about figures on tanks. Turning to Serbian forces operations, first I will cover ground operations in Kosovo. Serb forces continue to seek to establish control over all the key terrain and lines of communication in Kosovo. The tempo of Serb military activity has reduced. Continuous operations have likely inflicted a gradual degradation of Serb combat sustainability and caused rising levels of demoralization among their troops. Increasing use of special police and paramilitary units reflect augmentation needed to conduct further security operations. These security operations increasingly are conducted by MAP units supported with VJ armor or artillery in order to relieve VJ troops. It also likely reflects an overall Serbian army wish to return responsibility for internal security, in Kosovo to the special police. In central Kosovo, special police elements conducted operations against the UCK in the Pristina area and along the Suva-Reka-Stimilje line of communication. Combined VG and MAP forces intensified operations near Suva-Reka, south of the Dulje Pass, where they encountered strong resistance from the UCK. Fighting between Serb forces and the UCK continued in western Kosovo, along the Kosovo-Albanian border, focusing on the area of Morina and Potok Morinja. VJ artillery shelled villages in northern Albania, including Letaj and Borje. UCK forces also continue to operate in western Kosovo, as shown here. Turning now to Serbian Air Force activities. Serb early warning radar activity was again noted. Serb air defense launched 6 surface-to-air missiles. Anti-aircraft artillery was again active. A small number of MiG-21 aircraft were detected, dispersing to nearby airfields. No air defense fighters opposed our air forces. As earlier mentioned, we lost 1 aircraft during yesterday's operation. At 2:20 this morning, local Brussels time, an F-16 CJ experienced an engine failure 18 kilometers east of Kosluk, whilst returning from a mission over Yugoslavia. The cause of the engine failure is under review. The pilot was recovered safely and is now at a NATO base. An AV-8B Harrier aircraft was also lost in a training accident. This aircraft was not assigned to NATO, but was supporting NATO's operation. Turning back to this operation, and covering first the humanitarian issues. On the humanitarian side, NATO forces support for non-governmental organizations and the governmental institution of Albania and Fyrom continues. Our support contributes significantly to the relief efforts in these countries. In the last 24 hours, there were 11 aid flights flown into Fyrom with 13 tons food and water and 15 tons of medical supplies. For Albania, there were 16 aid flights delivering a wide range of humanitarian supplies. Now I will turn to our air operation. As previously stated in the briefing, we placed a concentrated effort against fielded forces in Kosovo. However, we also continue to target the strategic assets that permit the Serbian forces to support and control their operations in Kosovo. In this regard, Allied aircraft once again struck the full range of military targets. We again placed an emphasis on the radio relay and TV transmission facilities that are integral elements in the command and control network of the Serbian leadership and military command. 8 transmission towers and facilities were targeted, as detailed in the slide. The TVET radio relay site located at the TVET Bay in western Montenegro was considered to be a key node in the command and control structure and thus was targeted. The following cockpit videos are of attacks against 3 communication towers conducted over the last few days. The first video is against the Loznica radio relay tower. The next film is of our aircrew attacking the Sremica radio communication station. And the final video is of the Subotica radio and TV transmitter. The integrated air defense system was again targeted, including the Nish airfield. We will continue to selectively target elements of the system to prevent the Serb military from reconstituting the system. Petroleum storage and production facilities were targeted, including the facilities at Lopatnica, Novi Sad, and Podzega. We also targeted the Kakai Ordnance Repair Facility. We again struck lines of communication, including 12 road bridges and 5 railroad bridges. Unfortunately, on one of our attacks on Saturday, unintended damage occurred, and NATO aircraft carried out one single attack against Luzane Bridge, north of Pristina. This was a legitimate military target on a key north-south resupply route for the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia military and special police operations between Pristina and Podujevo. Unfortunately, after weapons release, a bus crossed on the bridge but was not seen by the pilot, whose attention was focused on his aim point during weapon trajectory. He did not target the bus, and there was no intent to harm civilians, and any loss of innocent life is regretted. Serbian force infrastructure was struck, including the Novi Pazar and Prokopulje ammunition depots. The following slide is an expansion of the military infrastructure struck in Kosovo. These targets included the Bezinje and Dakovica storage areas and the military facilities at Peć, Dniljane, and Vranje. And with this slide, I end my operations update for you. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks very much indeed. We'll go to questions in the usual fashion. Freddie, would you like to begin, please?
Both my questions to Konrad and concern. The first one concerns a statement that there were rising levels of demoralization. Can you give us some evidence which indicate that? That was question one. And question two concerns the location of the air attacks against field forces seem to be connected with the attack with the area of UJK activity. Are these, in fact, partly in support of the UJK?
Concerning the first, I can only repeat what I've stated yesterday. We have some confirmed and some unconfirmed reports of desertion. We have seen reports from commanders who brief their soldiers if they would desert, they will be shot. We have seen desertions from Kosovo Serbs, from Vojvodina Serbs, from Montenegro Serbs, who all didn't want to join these armed forces and who didn't want to continue that what they are ordered, because they wanted to stay a normal military man and not looting and burning and raping and whatever they were asked and tasked to do. But I think Jamie has another report on...
Yes, Conrad, if I can just come in on there, I just want to draw your attention to an interesting interview in today's Welt am Sonntag newspaper with a 34-year-old officer of the Serbian army who is under the alias of Veran Tesanovic. an alias, of course, because his identity has to be protected, but he gives an account of the circumstances which induced him to desert from the Yugoslav army and to flee to Hungary, where he's now in a refugee camp. He makes it clear that he was given orders to kill people. He makes it clear that he was given photographs of the people that he was meant to kill or to have killed. And he also makes it clear that many others in his unit were equally sickened as he was by having to carry out this appalling work under the direct orders of the chief of the general staff. He says that since his desertion, his family has been intimidated and his wife has been beaten. So, again, it's only one story of one individual, but I think it's nonetheless indicative that not everybody in the Yugoslav army is content to have to do this bloody work, quite frankly.
Excuse me, yes. Comrade, please.
Yes, sir. Can I ask you to ask your second question again, please?
Yes. The air activity against field forces, the locations of those which are shown on the map, seem to coincide partly with the activity of the UÇK. Is there some coordination? Are these air activities in support of UÇK ground activities?
No, there is no coordination between our air campaign and the UCK, at least not from our part. But we have increased our air activities, in this case supported by the good weather conditions.
Well, Freddie, if I could add here, just in amplification of what Comrade has said, I understand that this morning there were some attacks along the Albanian border, near the border post of Marani, and they, of course, were seeking out Serb artillery positions, which are not only firing against UCK positions, but are firing very close to where a large number of refugees are taking shelter, posing a threat to refugees. In fact, even some members of humanitarian relief organizations very narrowly escaped injury yesterday from such shelling. And, of course, they are violating the sovereignty of a neighbouring country by firing over the border. So those are targets, but for those good reasons. Let's move on. Patricia, please.
Colonel Freitag, in your military briefing, you showed, when you were talking about Serb ground activity, you showed a photograph. I'd like to know where that photograph was taken, when, and what its source is.
I have to... I know, the first slide. I have to come with an answer later on. My people will give me an answer on that.
Okay.
Okay, lady there, please.
Thank you. ABC News, question for Colonel Freitag. We're hearing reports that after yesterday's bombing of the bus in Luch...
And we will probably have some details for you on this incident later on, but I want to underline that we did not bomb the bus and we did not target the bus. I have seen the video, and on that video it shows much earlier another vehicle passing the bridge and not being harmed at all. That's all I can say at this moment.
Okay, Doug, please.
Just a couple of technical questions. On the videos, the artillery and the tank looked remarkably exposed. Is there any possibility that they're putting out dummies for NATO to hit? And on another chart, you showed six SA-6s were fired, only one of which was guided. What happens when they're not guided? They just sort of point them. And on the Luzhany Bridge, in general, would the risk of such incidents be less or more or about the same if pilots were allowed to go down to low altitude before targeting their targets? Thank you.
Let me start with the last question. I cannot talk about the altitudes from which we attack our targets. I'm not allowed to do that. When there is an anti-air attack and it is not guided, then it is just a lucky shot, as we have had in several instances earlier. Only with the guided approach the Serb forces could be somehow successful. But we have not seen, thanks God, not too much success in that. No, we do not target and we do not hit dummies, and I'm sure that the briefers next week will have some hard facts for you on what we have hit and what we have destroyed.
Okay, well, let's go to the front row then, please.